Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. I've got my phenomenal co-host with me, Dr. Mary Oberstein, my everything. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
It looks like we're so far away. She's actually in the next room. And we're just excited to have this episode. We've got a good friend of ours who we've known for probably the last, I don't know, 7 years, maybe. I'm not sure how far back. But we've got Dr. Ryan Reeder with us. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks. It's so nice to have you here. Be on the call with you both. And it's funny, when people say 7 years, you're like, wow, it has been probably longer even 7 years, you know, and done a lot of stuff together. So it's really cool to be on the show with you guys.
Yeah. And we're thrilled to have you. Ryan's coming to us from the UK. He's kind of a bi-coastal guy right now. Just recently moved to Florida. He's living in Sarasota, second home of BJ Palmer. And it's great to have you in the United States. And he's a snowbird. So he's a sunbird, right? So now he's in the UK because he has a home there for six weeks or 8 weeks while it's blistering hot in Florida. And great lifestyle. But let me tell our viewers a little bit about you, Ryan. Ryan graduated in 2010 from South Africa. He's South African from Durban Institute of Technology. They have a chiropractic college there. Straight away, he moved over to the UK. Did an associateship for a couple of years and went into business with a guy where they started with two practices and immediately within a couple of years went to eight practices. Did absolutely phenomenal there. They did about $7.5 million a year minimum in those eight practices. Brought in tons and tons. The number I have is 10,000 new patients every year, which is just incredible. And I know that's kind of like your moniker, the new patients, you know, that kind of thing. And it sold those businesses, and now he's doing consulting and marketing. We'll get into what you're doing, but just doing some really cool stuff and bringing chiropractic to a massive amount of people. And I think that to me is the most exciting, right? Because we're creating an awareness out there to bring people in. So just thrilling, man, just great. So we're gonna jump in. And I'm Mary, I just wanna just start off by asking Ryan, how did chiropractic find you?
It's interesting for me. Well, first of all, talk about Sarasota. I arrived in Sarasota and you said second home to BJ Palmer. The very first thing I did when I arrived in Sarasota, I went and found the house.
Yeah. On Washington Street.
I stood outside there by Sonoma Circle. I stood outside like a weirdo and took a selfie outside some random guy's house. As you do.
It's sold now. It's not, that doesn't belong to Dr. Williams anymore, but
yeah. I heard. So, the question was, how to find chiropractic? Yeah, my story is quite unique. You know, I was very involved in sport at school and I had no idea what I wanted to do. All I focused on is sport and was a good sportsman. I played junior national water polo, I swam for 4 hours a day, did all that. And then my neighbor, who's actually a consulting client of mine now and a good friend of mine, he was going to study chiropractic and I'd never been adjusted. I'd never been to see a chiropractor. And the true story was I went across and observed a chiropractor, Dr. Moolman, in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, graduated in the US. And I remember walking in and he was just chatting to people. And it just looked like fun. And people were like jumping off tables. And I was like, honestly, in my naivety, I was like, I think I could do this.
Yeah.
I went to chiropractic college. It just looked like a cool environment. And I went to chiropractic college never having had a chiropractic adjustment. Never. And I felt like really guilty for a long period of time about, because you hear these amazing speakers on stage, you have this incredible story about you know, how chiropractic adjusted since birth and chiropractic changed your life, et cetera. And I always say, I didn't find chiropractic, chiropractic founded me. And now, you know, I know that I can speak to the converted when I speak to the two of you, but it's like, you know, everything I own, the roof over my head, the lifestyle I live, everything is because of chiropractic. I'm like how lucky I was, like just in spite of me to have found chiropractic, you know? And then actually the miracles of chiropractic, I saw it in practice, but actually only when you had children, I think I really, that was, both my kids were premature and, you know, watching my first child latch for the first time, mid-adjustment. So my journey was so long, but when I say like, how did chiropractic find you? Well, you know, it found me, I didn't find it. And thank the Lord that I stumbled across chiropractic in spite of me. And then I continued to see these amazing miracles of chiropractic.
The cool thing is when people say, you know, wow, I was there and I just said, I could do this, you know, and, you know, it's not about the adjustment. It's not about, it's the vibe that they see, right? And that they feel, right? And, and the communicators go, I could see myself doing this the rest of my life. And that's the beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah, it was literally that.
And it's funny, like some people, you're right. Like people find chiropractic, or chiropractic finds people in such unique ways. But I want to jump in because I know that I want to I have so many questions for you. So I want to jump in about your consulting business. And I was going to ask you what's unique about it, but I kind of want to ask you, like, just give us like, what do you do? How are you helping chiropractors? Yeah.
So I think Raven, you both might be able to relate to this, really, Dr. Ron and yourself, Mary, is, you know, when I started doing quite well in business, I was asked to speak on stage, and then I get up stage and then someone would say to me, hey, you know, do you coach? And then like my knee jerk was, yep, I guess so. you know, and then I started helping a few people, and then that grew, and then that grew, and that grew and grew. And we are the largest consultants in the UK and Europe. And, I think one of the things I've prided myself in is I always like to say I'm the most boring chiropractic coach in the world. And you know, I've seen so many chiropractic coaches, and so we've all been blessed by so many great chiropractic coaches. But, you know, I think sometimes we glamorize the day one, day two, or we're looking for the silver bullet. And in business, it doesn't really work that way. If we look at most businesses, so a good sales process, let's say day one, day two, is a have to have. It's not the thing that change. It's you. Of course, you need to have a good sales process, and of course, you have to have good marketing systems. But one of the things I see is that's such a shortfall in chiropractic practices, and it's not just chiropractic practices; it's businesses. But it's the boring stuff. It's like, you know, do you produce a good profit and loss by the 10th of every single month? You know, a few chiropractors can answer that question. Mm. Do you know a few chiropractors? Like, what was your profit percentage last month? You know, they've got the script. They've got the day one, two, which have changed 14 times, by the way. So what I'm saying is if the silver bullet was a day one, day two script, surely would have found it by now, because there's no shortage of people trying to sell it to you. And they're all good. They're all good. But I think we glamorize that a little bit too much, because the thing that's going to hold it together for you over a 10-year career is some boring stuff, like good financial literacy, good weekly meetings, good quarterly meetings, some what I call structure stuff that have been taught by some amazing people way smarter than me that we're able to leverage. So in a way, that's probably been one of the things that I'm very unique for. I run a program called Platinum, maximum 8 to 10 practices in a room. We get in a room for, these are like my upper level coaching consulting clients, but we have multiple levels. But the top level is we get in a room 3 times a year, 2 days, 8 to 10 practices in a room, and they pay quite a high fee for that. But the win is actually the prep. So Mary, this scares most people. So they're not allowed in the room with a side-by-side profit and loss for the previous financial year and the current financial year to date. Their balance sheet needs to be up to date, and they need to present this to the rest of the room. Wow. And the amount of counts, now imagine, you have to show cash on hand, what's the net assets, what's the balance sheet. And I've been working with these guys for like 4 or 5 years, and it changes from a conversation of what's your weekly visits to what's your net assets. Yeah. What's the balance sheet looking like? Now, there's not too many people having those conversations, and I'm really proud of that. It's like, and it's slow and rhythmical, and it's less about, Tony Robbins says this, people underestimate what they can do over 5 years and overestimate what they can do in 90 days. So it's like, hey, you know, what's your balance sheet look like in the next 5 years? So, Mary, in a way, that's kind of my thing. And I know I started with marketing. Most people that come to me for marketing help don't need marketing help.
Right.
They just need to convert or retain better. So the problem is never the problem.
It sounds like it's like chiropractic. You're getting to the root of it. Like,
totally.
I'm hearing you speak, and it's like I always say my adjusting is pretty boring. Like, there's nothing sexy about my adjusting. Yeah. There's nothing sexy about your consulting. I got to tell you that.
100%. I'm like, yeah. I don't want you to come to me and go, I don't want to be the guy that's going to be, hey, we're going to change the game for you. We're going to double your practice in 90 days. That is not a sustainable thing. And by the way, growth can kill you. So
you have high accountability too of telling people, like, show up. You're going to do some really hard work in the beginning that you're going to hate with numbers. And it's going to show you how awful your practice is. It's kind of what it is, really. But I'm going to help you.
You know, the truth is that people aren't raised to understand business. Right. You know, and think about this. They're given a credit card and they just go spend. And usually when they get their first bill, you know, they go, what's this? Oh, I have a minimum payment. Then later, year later, you know, they get the statement that says, oh, you're such a good person, you don't have to pay this month. And they go, oh my God, that's awesome. I must be a really good person, you know, or good business, you know, whatever. And the truth is that people don't want to look at the hard stuff, you know? And so we're kind of geared into that from the very beginning, you know, not having any accountability around money. And I agree with you, Ryan, you know, if people have their business in order, they can then fill their doors based on what their business, you know, what their business model is, right? You know, but we tend to have it differently, right? And, you know, we think, oh, I'm just going to get everybody in and I'll figure out the business as I go. And the truth is they're both super important, you know?
Yeah, which is appropriate at times. So I'm just enjoying that space at the moment.
Great space to be in. Ryan, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody, and we were talking about this. He's a great business guy, and we were talking about this. And you know, the truth is that I can take a servant, because I really want our audience to hear this. You know, I can take a servant, and you can also, and teach them business. But it's hard to teach a business person to be a servant, to have a servant's heart. In chiropractic, what you got turned on to when you were in that office, I think, oh, I can see myself doing it. It was the service.
Absolutely.
You know? And I love what you're doing, because you're bringing this to the people, and hopefully the people that are in that room are servants, so that not, because boy, you teach a servant how to run a business, man, it's going to be like, you know.
Yeah. I've got a saying: the less they do, the less the servant does in the practice, the busier they get. But not the less. That's not abdication. We want the chiropractor being the chiropractor. We want them serving. We want them looking people in the eye. We want them just being present. But the anxiety of not knowing if I have enough tax saved or whatever, it takes you away from servanthood, because you can't be present when you're thinking about that, when you're multitasking and you haven't got the team in place. So I really enjoy that space. And I think it serves a lot of people to be told that. And actually, we have some amazing consultants in the chiropractic profession, and they've done a really good job with a lot of people. But sometimes I worked with a chiropractor recently. He's 300 visits a week. He does really well for himself, etc. But actually, when we looked at his tax allocation on a monthly basis, we realized he was way behind. And all of a sudden, he went from making really good cash flow every single month to going, oh my goodness, I've got to catch up on myself at like 10, 12 grand a month to make the next tax allocation. And it shouldn't be the case when he's been seeing 300 plus visits a week for many, many years. Yeah. He should be. And if he'd had his financial literacy in place over the last 5 years and had a tax pot and a tax and an estimation every month, he would be in a really good spot, you know? So it's not his lack of being able to convert people or new patients or him being a great chiropractor. He's a phenomenal chiropractor. He's actually a teacher within chiropractic, and he teaches an incredible adjusting course. He's an amazing human being. And he would be like, this is the only thing that let him down was his financial literacy and his cadence and his support team. He's an incredible chiropractor, heals people. His testimonials are outrageous. People with amazing miracle stories. But he's in my room to learn the boring stuff, and he deserves so much kudos for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's face it. I think if you surveyed 100 chiropractors or 1,000 chiropractors and said, "What is the most stressful part about your job?"
Yeah,
I think 99.9% would say the business. You know, they love being in the room. They love taking care of people. They love being at the table. You know, it's not that. It's the business. You know, and like you said, if you get rid of that subluxation, right, and get that in order, you know, the sky's the limit.
I will say this. This is not coming from a place of, you know, I'm a businessman, and you guys have been in so many businesses. And, you know, Les Brown says you actually teach the thing you most want to become, not the thing. It's normally your biggest skill set comes out of pain. So this one I'm teaching now comes out of pain. I was there. Yeah. This is not like I didn't have this stuff for wax. I was always good at sales and marketing. But the biggest challenge I ever had in business had to do with lack of financial literacy with a finance director and a challenge there. It wasn't, I was great at selling. I was great at marketing. The only challenge I ever had in business had nothing to do with those two things, getting new patients and converting. Everyone wants to get new patients and convert. Well, hey, you can be pretty good at those and still have a tough time sometimes, you know? So so your blessing, you know, often comes out of the challenge, and you learn how to do that, and you strengthen your weaknesses sometimes. So, you know, just for anyone listening to this, if you feel like, hey, this is your, if your challenge, like, don't worry. I was there too. I'm sure Dr. Ron can say he was there many times, and et cetera. And so yeah, just to share that, it doesn't come out of me being perfect in that. It comes out of me understanding that I have to be perfect. And you said it, I'd rather have someone who's a great servant and you can teach this stuff. This is not complicated stuff.
No.
This is a panacea. Many accountants can help you with a good profit and loss. Many people can teach you what a balance sheet is. Not many people can serve at high levels in chiropractic. So I'd rather you start with a big servant and learn the other stuff.
That's right. And it's stuff that people avoid in life, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? They avoid the money. They avoid the... So if they don't look at it, they just avoid it. You know, and I just want to share this with both of you. You know, I'm not on Facebook a tremendous amount, but when I do go on, I see these chiropractic forums talking about the cost of tuition of chiropractic school and, you know, how outrageous and da-da-da-da-da and all this. And they have no idea about what ratios we have to make for the Department of Education and where our composite scores have to be. They don't even know what a composite score is. So for all of you listening, it's okay, and keep the conversation going around it. But there's so much more to it. It's kind of like someone looking at an adjustment and saying, oh, well, all you're doing is cracking someone's back. And it's the last thing that we're doing, right? But it's interesting because you go to chiropractic school and you spend, I don't know, let's just say it's $120,000 in tuition, right? Just roughly $120,000. And you look and you see at cost of living, it depends on the student, how they go through, whatever, you know. But you look at what people pay for undergrad in the States, you know, and some people are paying $200,000 for an undergraduate degree that they can't do anything. They can go get a job at Starbucks. But the bottom line on the return on investment on an education is if you can gross the amount that you put in 3 years of your education, if you can gross that, you have a good profession. So if it's $120,000 for tuition, I'm not talking about living, flying to Europe, what students do. I'm about the credit card life. I'm talking if they can spend, if it's $120,000, right? And they make gross $120,000 in their first 3 years, the standard is that's a good ROI. Well, chiropractors are making a lot more. The potential they're going to make throughout the course of their career, and it's crazy. You know, it's just crazy when you see about it. But these are people who don't understand business, and you know they're just looking at a number, going, "Oh, well, it's high debt," and it could be high debt when they come out, right? But they have to know how to go out and start making a living and doing their thing. And there's a lot of factors around it. I don't want to make anybody wrong on it, but there's so much more to look at. And my point is, the business aspect is what people have to get their mind around, right?
Yeah.
It's not just chiropractic. Okay? It's just so many things. Anyway. So Mary, go for it.
I my question was, and then we're going to jump onto the next topic because I don't want to run out of time. Most of the people that join your consulting group, are they like brand new chiropractors? Are they people who've been in practice 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Like,
It's actually changed a lot. It's a great question. And actually, Mary, before this, we spoke about like my experience with the, say, UK, Europe consulting, and then the US, and I'm quite a unique, I've got a different outlook because I've just moved to the US. there's a couple of things as a fresh American, if you will, that I can share with you. But typically, you know, it's the same for chiropractic. Typically, people don't change until the pain of where they're at is great enough. So when I first started consulting, I would see a lot of people in practice 10 years and above. Culturally, you would get very few new graduates, let's say under 5 years in practice, investing in coaching from a European perspective.
Okay.
That's unusual. Whereas in America, it's actually, there's a lot more people that are willing to invest in coaching, consulting, because culturally you're a bit more used to it. Everyone is a consultant and a coach, and it's very common. And hence there are lots of coaches in America, but that's typically how it is. So in my experience, it's changed a little bit. I am 39 this year, so I tend to attract quite a lot of younger docs in America, especially mm-hmm. with my digital marketing background and stuff like that, which has been a lot of fun. And I've been pleasantly surprised how many younger docs are prepared to invest in coaching, whereas in the UK, it's typically someone been in practice for quite some time. And then I think there's one other element of it is, you know how the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Mm-hmm. And life is pretty humbling. So when you first come out of practice, the worst thing to ask a new grad typically is, how's it going? Because they'll always reply with, it's going amazing.
Yeah.
And, yes. and then you really, when you humble up and you have a couple of kids and you have a couple of breakups with business partners and the CA steals from you and finance director goes, you go, okay, cool, maybe I need some help. So typically, yeah. I it's changed a bit, but typically over 10 plus years in practice, people are a little bit more open and susceptible to learning. But I have seen that pleasantly change to younger docs taking up coaching.
But is it also the younger docs understand Instagram and they understand, you know, on the marketing side, right? That they understand that more. So they're able to embrace it and say, good, I want to know how to use this vehicle that I'm familiar with and how to drive it better.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. Again, I'll take them back to the boring stuff. You know, if they find me through that, I'll be like, that's great. You can do an Instagram reel, but can you read a P&L? Because I promise you, Instagram may not be around in 5 years. The reality. Yeah. I know that it was like, oh, it will be. Well, there's many social media. There's a new social media platform. Anyone listening to this right now, the number one downloaded app the last quarter. Do you guys know what it was? What was the number one downloaded app in the world last quarter?
I would say TikTok maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. And then the quarter, you're right. And the quarter before that?
TikTok.
For the last 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
Really?
TikTok, for the last 4 years in a row, quarter on quarter, TikTok has been the most downloaded app.
So good, like, job, Ron.
Even for me, I'm like, I'm slow to TikTok. And I'm like, I better get, because everyone's like, oh, but they're not our demographic right now. But yeah, but you're probably going to be a chiropractor in 10 years time. And believe me, the 27-year-old or the 24-year-old is going to be 34, 40 with kids, and he will be your perfect demographic. So you better freaking know how to do some TikTok. I'm also talking to myself here, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So yes, but yeah, it's just interesting, Ron. I think it's where I think the younger docs can learn so much from docs who've been in practice for many years, is everything that they're doing now. I want to show up in places that nobody else is showing up. So most practices know how to do Instagram and Facebook and posts now, younger docs, right? But what they don't know how to do is all the stuff that actually works. So posts, newsletters, emails, live events and workshops. I'm willing to bet, Mary and Ron, that you guys built a lot of your success off the back of live events, workshops, and patient appreciation events,
right?
And community events, right?
Right.
Every week.
And you know what? Every great I've ever spoke to had some type of live element to their practice. Now, my younger docs, let's call them COVID docs, COVID made a lot of them fall out of love with the live event, because all of a sudden they say people don't show up. But that's not true, because the busiest docs that I'm working with right now are doing a weekly workshop, a live event. And I'm like, and when I say to people, I'm such a fan of a print newsletter, they're like, print? Oh, I never thought you'd say that. I'm like, what? Listen, go read. I've got it here. There's a green book written by Dr. Veda, who is called Chiropractic Advertiser. 100 years ago, he was saying you should send something in the post every single month to your patients. Wow.
Yeah.
100 years ago, he was saying you should invite all inactive patients or people who have dropped out of care to a workshop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing new here. But I'm like, why do you think times have changed? Oh, people don't show up. They do show up. It's just that you think that it's easier to get patients sitting at home in your underwear with a Facebook ad. It's not. And then you want quality. Well, it doesn't work that way. You right. can't get you quality. The speed at which they find you, the more time with you, like a patient appreciation event, and they read your newsletter and they read your email, those are going to give you higher quality. Yes, that's there's right. a bit more work, but that's how it works. It's quality comes from spending time with people, whether that's in newsletters or print or whatever. I love talking about this stuff, especially with chiropractors being in practice for many years, because that you can attest for the fact that you built your practice off the back of this stuff. And a younger doc, I'm going to tell you now, don't ignore that stuff, because I promise you, whether it's Donald Trump, who won the previous election before that, he didn't do that off the back of Zooms. He did that off the back of flying around and doing live events. Right. I can talk about the stuff in this. I'll shut up now.
No. But you know what's true too is that I think one of the biggest things we hear, at least in the chiropractic world, is that my patients, they're not getting the story. They don't understand what we're doing. Yada yada. And it's like patient education is the most important thing, and having live patient education. Mary, we did a health talk. A workshop every week, for 30, something years straight. I mean, just continually do it, and what they don't realize, it's really for the doctor. The patients get a lot out of it, but they get to meet it, but it's really for the doctor to get re-dipped every week. Mm-hmm. But the key is this, is like, how can you expect someone to come to a consultation for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, a report of findings for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, 60, whatever it is, and expect them to get it? When you got people sitting in school with you, that sat in school with you for 4,000 hours and didn't get it, right? And so it's that, I love what you said, Ryan. It's that personal, and our whole success in chiropractic. Chiropractic gets results. Chiropractic is incredible. Correcting subluxation, have the nervous system function. There's nothing better, and it's always going to work, no matter who applies it. It's always going to work.
Yeah,
but the experience is what the patient has, and they want to come and be in your office, be on the table, be with you for whatever time period that is. It doesn't matter whether it's 30 seconds or whether it's 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. It's the live aspect that they love, and I love what you said, because it speaks right to it.
Good. I'm glad, but I just want someone to listen to this who's listening now and go, I know there's going to be someone that rolls their eyes listening to this right now and goes, but that sounds like a lot of work. And then I normally reply to them and say, well, you want to be paid the big bucks, don't you?
Yeah.
And if you want to be, let's talk about financial, or you want to serve in the big level, don't you? Well, it's interesting because, it's a good example. One of the last times I saw you, Dr. Ron, was actually in the UK, where you flew all the way over to the UK for a recruitment effort. Now, here's the thing. How many people, let's say there was 25 potential students in the room, right?
Yeah.
Most chiropractors won't show up. They're like only 25. And it's like, it's in their practice.
Yeah.
And they're just here. And they just have to walk out of room and they can facilitate a talk. And I've flown across the country for 5 people.
Yeah.
I mean, from UK to US, you flown. And it's like, no, come on, let's have a reality check here, chaps.
Yeah.
We're talking about like with the context of hard. Like, we really need to check ourselves here, because how blessed are we to have a facility where people can come to us and we can do a talk to 5 people, 10 people, and we can change a life, and we can have a guest there, and we can have a new patient, and we can have a retention. And there's one of my greatest mentors is a guy by the name of Dan Kennedy, and he's got this statement that I can almost repeat to you verbatim. And he's like, there's the fundamental change in the relationship and the belief in the prospects, like belief in the product or service, is completely changed when they stand or sit in a live event. And the key here is when they hear a raving fan talk about, let's say, Dr. Ron now. I think, Mary, why have you been coming here? Why have you been coming here for 10 years? Which is a great question to ask someone in a live event. And they go, because everything in my life just improved when I met Dr. Ron. Now, when 25 other people hear that, you cannot conceptualize the change in relationship forever. based on that one life testimonial that was choreographed in some way. You don't actually, you know, if someone's in the room, we're gonna ask them about their results amongst the people who are just starting, right? So we can mix them up too. So anyway, just some of the psychological changes that happen in someone when they're in a live event.
I love it. That's great.
That's great.
Wow. We could keep going, guys, but you know what?
I know.
Time period, you know? Ryan, you're incredible. I mean, you know, and the inspiring thing for me is that, and Mary, I don't know if you feel this or not, but it's like things are going back full circle, you know? And Ryan, it's refreshing to hear it from a 39-year-old, you know? You know, it really is, because, you know, we could look at students or new practitioners and say, you're not doing a health talk every week or giving a workshop every week about what chiropractic is and what your expectations are and all the, and they're like looking at us like we got three heads, because it's like, why would we do that? You know, people won't show up and people won't do this, and I could just do it on Instagram and I can just send a video, and that's not as powerful.
I know we have to go from a time perspective, a hard stop, but I think I'll just take, just quickly bring a circle from me arriving in the US. You know, arriving in the US, we are quite blessed in the UK and Europe in that the ratio of chiropractors to, you know, civilians, if you will, people are, is a lot less than chiropractors. And you got way more chiropractors to people in America, right? So I arrived in Sarasota and I drove down the street called Clark Street. And we now like, spot the chiropractor on the street. I think we want like 13 chiropractors on one street. Okay. Now, if 13 chiropractors out of 13 are probably not doing health classes, that's great for you, by the way. 13 out of 13 are probably not sending a monthly print newsletter to their active customer. That's great for you, by the way. So you want to be showing up where they're not showing up. So if everyone's saying, hey, we don't want to do workshops, great for you, because we want to stand out and we want to do something different. Right. But my bet is they all got a website. Hey, they've all probably got an Instagram page, right? So if 13 out of 13 are doing a Facebook ad in the area, good luck trying to make that work. But guess what? Very few are going to be doing a weekly workshop.
That's right.
Very few are going to be prepared to invest in a $1.50 newsletter to your patient that's been coming for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a big investment for someone that spent $20,000 with you and their family. Yeah. So, but you're prepared to spend $100 to get a new patient on Facebook, but you want to spend $1.50 to send someone a newsletter who's already spent $10,000 with you. It's insane. Right. But we all do it in our business. And I know we have to end there, but I just want to say thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it so much. And I'm enjoying my journey in America so much. And I always love connecting with the two of you. You're amazing. So thank you.
We'll bring you back on. We want to hear about
this.
We really want to hear the next time we talk, we want to hear, what has it been like? You know, like did you land on Mars when you came to the US or did you land, are you in hell kind of deal? You know, like,
we'll save that conversation next one.
It's we will. Hey, before we get off, we're going to ask you a question. Okay. We've kind of changed our context of the question that we ask for all of our guests on Life by Life List. And I'm going to do it today. It's just a simple question. First thing that pops up in your head, it could change. The next time we ask you in 2 minutes, it could change. So the ethos of LifeWest is lasting purpose, giving, doing, loving, and serving out of one's abundance. Okay. Right. Expecting nothing in return. So giving, doing, loving, and serving. Out of those four words, giving, doing, loving, and serving, which word right now at this moment resonates with you and why?
It has to be serving for me. Bill Nightingale's book, I think it was, said, the person that serves the most is the richest, and rich in different ways. It's not money rich. It's the person that serves the most. That always stood with me, and I was like, okay, just serve more. Everything will be okay.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Ryan. Thank you. And Mary, thank you for being it was fun. This was just great. And I want to thank our audience. Thank you. Thanks for coming in every week and listening. You know, we drop these Life by Life Wests every other week. The opposite weeks as a Life West Leadership Line is because of you. You know, the reason why it's grown so well and all the things that we're doing. But also, you know, I know there's people in your sphere, even yourself, even myself, who can always get better at business. So please pass this to people so they can hear some of the pearls that Ryan dropped, just to maybe stimulate something. And we'll have things underneath, you know, obviously that we're flashing that you can be able to latch onto and find out more about Ryan Reeder. But but you know, just share these because there are people out there who are such good servants, such good healers, and they just need to have that adjustment above Atlas to get their business in shape so they could be freed up to do what they were meant to do. And that's to really heal the world. So, So I'm just enamored, and Ryan, I'm inspired by what you shared and who you are and what you're doing. So thank you. Thanks, Bob. We come back at you guys again, just know that we love and appreciate you. You are far more greater than you were ever led to believe, and that within you is the answer, not out there, but within you. And all we have to do is just keep tapping into it. So see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.